Romans chapter number 9. Book of Romans tonight, chapter 9, and I want to read a few verses out of this chapter here and try to preach a few minutes out of this chapter. What a joy it is to be here and be in the service tonight. And what a Savior. Amen. I'm telling you, I didn't know Brother Mayo could sing like that. My soul. And you won't smoke pale males and sing like that. Amen. That was good tonight. I enjoyed that. I sure did. Good singing tonight. Good singing tonight. Good singing by the choir. And I like that kind. Amen. Choir cranked up on that first song, and I looked over my wife, and I said, our choir's going to have to learn that song. She said, our choir sings that song. That's, you know how to know when you're getting old, don't you? Yes, sir, I'm getting there. But anyhow, I enjoyed the good singing tonight. Such a blessing to be here. And I want to hear Brother McKeon preach sometime if that was a testimony. Amen. I enjoyed that tonight, Brother Todd. I mean that. I enjoyed that. He's God's man. He's God's preacher. Amen. And they love him up there where I pastor. We've had him time or two preaching. I love hearing him preach. And it's so good to be here and be in the service tonight. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved tonight by the good grace of God. It's good to be in the greatest work in the world. That's reaching the world with the gospel. And what a joy it is to be here tonight and be in the service tonight. I want to say thank you so much to the pastor and Brother Tingen, I told you I got that problem, amen, for allowing me to be here these days, and I hope we can be a blessing and be a real help, and it is a real honor and a real joy for me to be here tonight. It's not only an honor, it humbles me to preach tonight before you. And listen, these men sitting here tonight, I'm not worthy to shine your shoes or tie your shoes. I know that tonight, but I promise you I'll give it my best tonight, and I pray the Lord to use it, speak to our hearts together, and trust God to speak to our hearts tonight. I was driving down the road today, and I was supposed to call Brother Mike Johnson a week ago. Had a young man come talk to me wanting to start a church up in Virginia. And I said, I know a good man of God up in that area that probably can help you. He'll probably tell you some areas that doesn't have churches. Brother Johnson and I go back a long ways. We're good friends, a long. Matter of fact, my daddy used to take me to hear him preach when I was a little boy. And we go back a long ways, amen. But anyhow, I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I told that brother last week I saw him too. I said, you need to call Brother Mike Johnson. He's a good man of God up in that area, and he can help you. And I said, as a matter of fact, I'll call him for you. And so 3 or 4 days went by, and old Travis called me again. And he said, I called Brother Johnson, and he said, you hadn't called him. Amen. So coming down the road today, I picked up the cell phone, called him, and we talked a few minutes. We've been good friends for a long time, talked a few minutes. And he said, I'll see you this week. And I said, you will? He said, yeah. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Gateway. And I said, well, wonderful. I'll see you. I said, where are you at, by the way? He's just a few miles ahead of me on the interstate. And it's so good to see he and his wife tonight. What a blessing to see them. And what that pleased my heart to hear that you got this good man of God along with these other good men of God on the executive board. I'll promise you he'll do a good job. I know that, brother. He's got a heart for missions, and I appreciate him tonight. Can I tell you a little story on him before I preach? Years ago, Brother Johnson and I and some other men was in Romania. And preaching, and boy, we just having a time, preaching every night, preaching in different churches. And our policy was, and our policy still is tonight, when you're on the mission field, especially on a foreign field, you never go nowhere by yourself. You just don't do that. And we hooked Brother, he's looking at me. We hooked Brother Johnson up with Brother Tom Harding. Everybody needs to meet Tom Harding. Anybody ever seen Ernest C. Bass on TV? And him and Tom's first cousins, amen. And so we hooked Brother Johnson up with Brother Tom. And I said, now, Brother Tom, you go with this preacher everywhere he goes, you go with him. And don't leave him by himself. And we've been out preaching every night. Brother Radu had us preaching all over the country of Romania. And that morning we were sleeping in and resting. We weren't sleeping in. We'd already got up and done some stuff and come back to the house. Brother Johnson went out and was looking around, him and Brother Tom, and taking some pictures and looking around. This old man, I don't remember how many boys he had, but he had several boys, was pushing an old wood saw down the road, down the street there, and Roddy in the city where we was at. And Brother Johnson was taking the picture. And what he didn't know was they didn't want their picture took. And I think they was telling him not to do it, and he wouldn't listen. Amen. And Brother Johnson just kept on taking the picture. Make a long story short, About half them guys turned on Brother Johnson, threw him down, broke his camera in about 1,000 pieces. He had a white sweater on. I never will forget it. And man, it was all tore up and dirty and everything else. And we was laying there on the edge couch, and man, the door flung open, and old Tom Harden come through the door. And when he came through the door, he never even slowed down. I mean, went through the house just flying out the back door, went in the bathroom and locked the door and wouldn't come out. I thought, what in the world? I thought maybe it stumbled. Y'all know the rest of that story. And I thought, what's wrong with this man? And about 5 minutes later, the door swung open. Brother Johnston stepped in. He looked like he had lost his best friend. His arm was messed up and his sweater dirty. And I'd never seen such a mess in my life. He looked at us, and here's the first thing he said. Where's Tom? Turncoat Tom, amen. He left old Brother Johnston out there on the street. Brother Tom said he wasn't going to get whipped too. Wasn't no need both of them getting whipped, amen. He left him out on the street, amen. And if you got friends like that, you don't need an enemy, amen. But anyhow, good to see Brother Johnston tonight. Good to see everybody, and good to see you in the house of God tonight. What an honor to be here again. I mean that from the depths of my heart. Don't you look with me tonight. Romans chapter number 9. Would you stand with me, please, as we read? And I thought much about the service tonight. Last week, I really, really began to pray about this meeting. God really began to work in my heart. And I want to preach tonight on something that God put on my heart last week. And several years ago, I used to preach out of this scripture a good bit. And I hadn't preached out of it in years. And I want to share a thought with you tonight. Romans chapter 9, verse number 1. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ and I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Can you feel what I feel when I read that? I want to read it again. I say the truth in Christ and I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Chapter 10, look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I want to talk to you a little while tonight out of these verses tonight. And quite often I say to missionaries, when I was a missionary and a director, quite often in orientation I would always say, it's really not how good you can preach that will get you support, but rather it's how you convey your burden to the people. And I want for a few minutes tonight to try to convey Paul's burden here in these verses tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, that you might would help us tonight. Lord, I realize tonight within my own self, I'm nothing this evening. Lord, I realize within my own ability, I'm sure not able to stand tonight. In my own knowledge tonight, I'm not able to give anything this evening. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us this evening. And I pray the Holy Ghost will give us just a small window into the heart of this great man of God tonight as we study. Lord, I pray, speak to my heart out of these verses tonight. I pray that you'll convey the truth that you so worked in me. And the last few days, may the will of God be done through the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Father, I pray you'll anoint us with the power of God. Give us all the liberty we need in the service tonight. And again, Father, I pray the word will be conveyed. And Lord, the work will be done tonight for the glory of God. Blind our eyes and our mind to that and those that would hinder us tonight. Give us spiritual eyes to see with and a spiritual mind to think with. And use us for your glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sending you to be seated tonight. As we look at these verses tonight, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been talking to anyone and somebody out of the blues just come up and just rudely interrupt? I used to know this guy, and he was worse in the world for that. I don't care who he was talking to. This particular preacher I'm talking about, I don't care who he was talking to, what you're saying. He'd come up right out of the blues and just interrupt everything that was being said. When you come to Romans chapter 9, chapter 10 tonight, basically that's what Paul does right here in these chapters tonight. And study the book of Romans tonight, you'll find it's divided four ways. At chapter 1 and 2 and 3 tonight, you see, in these chapters tonight, he deals with men's sin. And he sums up the fact that men are sinners. He takes the unbelieving Gentile, he takes the unbelieving Jew, and he takes the heathen, and he sums it up in chapter number 3 and says, for we've all sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God. In these first three chapters, he deals with men's sin. In chapter 4 and chapter 5, he deals with men's salvation. And what he does, he reaches back in the Old Testament and he pulls out two Old Testament characters, one by the name of David and the other by the name of Abraham. And he shows how they were justified by faith. And he deals with men's salvation in chapter 4 and chapter number 5. In chapter 6, 7, and 8, how he deals with men's sanctification. How that you and I can have victory over the old man and have victory over the old flesh. When you come to Romans chapter number 12, through the remaining part of the book, he deals with chapter 12, through the remaining of the book, he deals with men's service, how we ought to give ourselves to God, how that we ought to serve the Lord and lay our body on the altar for the glory of God. But when you come to chapter 9 and chapter 10 and chapter 11, he leaves all those other three subjects and he deals with the sovereignty of God. He deals with Israel and he deals with the sovereignty of God. It's just as though he butts in what the main subject of the book, and he deals with the sovereignty of God in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. And let me just say this tonight. He's dealing with Israel. And as he deals with Israel in chapter number 9, he deals with Israel's past election. And may I say this tonight? God is not done with Israel. No, sir. He deals with Israel's past election. At chapter number 10, he deals with Israel's present rejection. And in chapter number 11, he deals with Israel's future restoring, how they'll be restored. But in these verses I read tonight, if you study these verses tonight, you'll find there's a tremendous burden here. And Paul wants to see how people get saved by the grace of God. I ought to read again, I say the truth in Christ. And I lie not in my conscience, also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart. Think about what he's saying. And when I read that, I see Paul's burden tonight. Above everything else tonight, Paul wanted to see people get saved by the grace of God. Paul wanted to see Israel saved. Paul wanted to see his people saved. In this verse tonight, in these verses tonight, the Spirit of God has given us a window into the heart of the Apostle Paul. And you see his load, you see his burden this evening for souls tonight. Oh, that's just a question before I preach. Do you like seeing people get saved? That was kind of weak. I said, do you enjoy seeing people get saved more than anything in the world? I'd rather see them. I'm telling you, it disturbs me when we go through a weekend at Northwood and don't have somebody saved. That don't happen too often, but when it does, it disturbs me. And I'll just say this to you now. There's a world that's lost without God. There's a world that's going to hell this evening. I want to say in these verses tonight, you see Paul's burden. Paul wants to see people saved. And I'll just say this for our priest tonight. That ought to be the burden of everybody in this room tonight. It doesn't matter what era you serve in. It doesn't matter what your capacity is in service tonight. At the end of the day, it ought to be seeing people get saved and leading people to Christ and seeing folk get saved by the grace of God. I was driving down the road one Saturday afternoon about the age of dark. I'm going to take my girlfriend to Cracker Barrel for supper. My girlfriend's with me, by the way. I have been my girlfriend now for 40 years. And we was driving up the road. It's about the end of February. And here come a man down the road about the age of dark on a bicycle. This man, his name is Vance Calloway. He's one of the wickedest men I've ever met in my life. He's been in every prison from Dan to Beersheba. He's been in every one of them. And I'm talking about, preach which one knows him, I'm talking about wicked. I'm talking about vile. And he has stole everything there is to steal. I'll bet you he stole 1,000 bicycles in his life. I'm telling you, people hated to see him come. People would cringe when they see how old Vance come into town. I wouldn't say if he's sitting here tonight, but he's peeped in every bedroom window up and down the road where he lives. You can call his name out and people will almost hit you right in the mouth. I'm talking about vile. I'm talking about wicked. He lives in a hole down under a house. Listen, a dog wouldn't even live where this man lives. And I was driving up the road that Saturday evening to take my wife to supper. And old Vance come down the road on the other side on a bicycle. And I said to myself, that heathen is probably headed down to the parsonage to steal everything I got. Then the Holy Ghost said, don't call him a heathen, do you witness to him? Don't call him a heathen, do you tell him about Jesus. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was afraid to tell him. He's 71 years old last week. And I'll guarantee you, bless the Lord, he'd pick that piano up. That guy can run. You ought to see him run. He's unbelievable, his health. And he's not a big feller. But I'm telling you, he's whipped about every law officer there is in our county. Amen. And the reason I had witnessed to him, I'll be honest with you, I was afraid of him. And I said to myself, driving up the road, boy, I hope that heathen don't go down to the house and steal everything I got while I'm gone. And when I had that thought, I didn't even tell my wife, I just had that thought. When I had that thought, the Holy Ghost said, you ought not call him a heathen till first of all you tell him about Jesus. And boy, I thought about him all night. That night when I went to bed, I was thinking about him. Next day when I got up, I was thinking about him. That Sunday night in our men's prayer room, we have a pretty good sized men's prayer room on Sunday night, and we was getting ready to pray, and I said to our men, I have a special prayer request. And I said, fellas, we need to pray for Vance Calloway. They laughed at me. They really did. Not all of them, but some of them. They sniggered and they made a joke out of it, and they laughed at me. Find the wickedest person you find in Spartanburg County, and I will tell you he won't be in a drop in a bucket to Vance Calloway. And I said, no, we need to pray for him. I ought to see him get saved. We need to pray for him. So that next week, one of my bus workers caught my burden. And he beat me to Vance's house. And bless the Lord, the next Sunday morning, guess who come walking down the aisle at the church? And when he come walking down the aisle, people was doing this. I'm telling you that you could hear the whispers. And old Vance, he come in with a bus worker. And when he come in with the bus worker sits right here on the front row. And old Dad was sitting here, and Vance was sitting right here. And I preached that Sunday morning. I did a series on the seven sayings of Calvary before Easter. That Sunday morning, I preached on the thief on the cross. And I said, hallelujah, there's hope for a thief. You may be wicked, you may be vile, there's hope for a thief. I preached that Sunday morning, old Vance started crying, coming running down the aisle. One of my deacons led him to Christ over on the other side of the altar. He ain't missed a lick since he got saved. That's been several months ago. He hadn't missed a lick since he got saved. He's going all over our town telling everybody, I got saved. Are you listening? He'd been saved about 2 weeks. And one Sunday night after service, chief of police is a member of our church, and we was having a meal together after service. And I found out the next day old Vance had a trial date. I knew he'd been in prison. I knew he'd been in trouble. And I said, Tim, what's it all about? He said, I don't know, but I'll find out right now. And he made a phone call and told me, he said, last year one of my officers arrested him for carrying a gun. He's a convicted felon. You can't carry a gun if you're a convicted felon. And he had an old pistol stuck down in his breeches, didn't have any shells. And what he's going to do is pawn the pistol for some money to buy food with. Well, by the way, that officer that arrested him said in our service over last night. Yeah! But here's what I started saying. They arrested him, put him in jail. Well, that was last year. I didn't even know he had a court date. He didn't tell me anything about it. And if I'd have known it, I'd have got I'd help get him out. But he didn't make a long story short. That Monday morning, he went to court. And Vance is as bold as a lion. And he walks in before the judge, and the judge says, "Sir, do you want a court-appointed attorney?" Vance said, "No, sir." He said, here's what he said. I know it's funny, but here's what he said. He said, "I'm here to represent myself, and I want 12 in the box." You know what they done? They put him in jail. And he spent the next 2 weeks in jail. They thought he was crazy and sent him to Dorothy Dix Mental Hospital in Raleigh. They thought he lost his mind. They thought he's crazy. While he's in jail, I go to jail to see him. And every jailer tells me, "Preach, there's something different about Vance. Vance ain't the same customer that we had." Hey, I want to tell you, he got out of there. And by the way, make a long story short, he ain't missed a lick. He got out of there and today went to court again. And boy, we've been praying and I wrote some letters and I wrote the DA last week a letter. And this morning he went to court again over that deal that he done before he got saved. Chief police called me a while ago. He's minimal charge. He said everything's okay. I said, "What happened to Vance?" I said, "Is he going to prison?" He said, "No, he's entered into a plea bargain. He's coming home and going to let him out on probation. Everything's going to be all right." Hey, I will tell you, listen to me. He told that DA, he said, "I might go to jail, but I ain't going to hell." Amen. Hey, I will tell you tonight, listen to me this evening. Hey, something about seeing folk get saved that stirs my soul. Boy, God spoke to my heart that night. And that load on my heart and that burden on my heart. Hey, I want to tell you something. That's what we need in this day and time. Did you know there's not many folk that really care? Oh, we know the Baptist language. You know how to talk and we know how to do this and that and the other. But I'm talking about having a burden for souls and seeing folks saved. Are you listening? Oh, I want to tell you tonight, Paul, in these verses I read to you tonight, Paul here, you see his burden for souls tonight. And just for a few minutes, I want you to look with me at these verses tonight. And again, I want to say that again, what I said a while ago. There's not too many people that really care. We know the religious talk. We know what to say and what not to. But I'm talking about really caring. Somebody said, "Would you help me pray for my loved one? I want to see him get saved." Well, what have you done to do that? Hello, I'm preaching good. People send up and say, "Would you pray for so-and-so? I want to see him get saved." What have you done to reach him? I believe you ought to pray, and that's wrong with that. I believe that. But I will tell you, put some feet on them prayers, man. Oh, listen, Paul wanted to see folks saved. My daddy's in heaven, and I've been in heaven now for 3 years. My daddy's one of the greatest soul winners I've ever met in my life. He preached 55 years, pastored 53 years. And one of the last things my daddy told me before he went to heaven, one of the last things about the ministry my daddy told me before he went to heaven, he said, "Alan," said, "I had a 91-year-old man saved in a nursing home today." 91 years old. Daddy's 86, 91 years old. Said, "I had a 91-year-old man get saved today." Hey, can I tell you something? Listen to me now. That's what we need in this day. Somebody said, "Well, I just don't ever see nobody get saved anymore. I wonder why." Oh, listen, tell the story. Sow the seed. Tell the story, thank God. And Paul said above everything, "I want to see my loved one saved." I want to give you four things out of these verses and we'll go home. Number one, first of all, these verses tonight I read tonight reveals Paul's love for souls this evening. Again, look at verse number 3. Paul said, "For I could wish myself accursed from Christ, from my brethren." And notice this right here. "From my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." You know what his kin people done to him? They killed him. You say they didn't kill him. He's alive. They did kill him too. You better read your Bible. Acts chapter 14, they stoned him and they left him for dead. And yeah, they sure did. And that's the worried crowd Paul said, "I want to see my kin people saved. I want to see Israel. I want to see my folks saved." Oh, Paul's love for souls tonight. I think in driving down today, if you study the 14 epistles of Paul, in every epistle you see his love for souls. And every epistle you see how the Paul has a concern and a love for those that are not saved. And I'll say this again tonight. How in the world could a man love somebody that tried to kill him, and they did do that. I will take God, give him that love in his heart for his own folk tonight. Oh, listen to me tonight. It's more than black ink or white paper. Paul said, my burden, my desire is to see Israel saved. Oh, Paul's love for souls. I like what old praying John Hyde said. He said, give me souls or I die. Give me souls or I die. I want to tell you tonight, I really believe with all my heart, these days that we're living in, everything's in a hurry and everybody's in a hurry, and this super speed world that we live in, oh, we need to find time again to get along with God and say, oh, God, save my loved one, and get that burden for souls again. What would cause a man to pull up roots, leave his own country, leave his own family, leave his own church, leave his own neighborhood, some situations, leave his own children and grandchildren, to go to a place where he's not wanted, where he's not welcome, where they could care less whether you come or not? What would make a man do that? I'm going to tell you what would make a man to do it. It's a love in his heart for a lost and a dying world. It's when God births that place in your soul and you that's going to those different areas around the world. It's when God so burns in your soul that place. Are you listening? That's what would make a man to do that. What would cause the church? What would cause the church to give thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars every year to missions around the world? What would cause a church to... You know, the religious people don't understand that. Well, we ought to do missions in our own town. Well, I believe that, but I don't think it'll stop there. I believe you ought to do it in your state. I believe you ought to do it across the street. I believe you ought to do it across the sea. Say amen. And what would cause a church to give literally thousands of dollars every month? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a love for souls. Oh, listen to me tonight. When I see 6.7 billion people on planet Earth tonight, and 75% of them has never heard the gospel, and 50% of them never heard the word Jesus, how can I but love them and see them get saved? I see Paul's love for souls. But notice something else in this text. I don't see Paul's love for souls. But notice in verse number 1 and 2 again. I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not in my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Watch verse 2. That I have great, help me with that next word, heaviness. You don't all see Paul's love for souls. But then in verse number 2, you see Paul's load for souls. Paul said, I've got a load on my heart. Paul said, I carried around everywhere. I've got a load on my heart. Hey, I will tell you tonight, that's what we need in this day and time. That's the burden every missionary needs. That's the burden every preacher needs. That's the burden every church member needs tonight. Oh, Paul said, I got a load on my heart. How long has it been since you got somebody on your heart? That old boy come to church. He's almost another Vance. Not quite that bad, but almost that bad. By the way, God loves sinners. You say, I wouldn't let a man like that on my parking lot. If you don't want them, send them on up our way. Yeah, they love a man of God. Somebody said something negative about me the other day, and Vance about ready to knock her head off. I said, wait a minute, Vance. Whoa. We don't do it that way. He didn't know no better. But here's what I started to say. Paul's load for some. We had no boys been coming to our church. And man lived a wicked, 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 wicked life. Been coming to our church. He's been coming about every other service on Sunday morning. Sits just about where you're sitting. Our church is pretty much laid out the way this is and sits just about where you do. And I'm talking about wicked. I'm talking about dirty talking. I'm talking about he can't use one sentence without using GD somewhere in it. Wicked and vile. And boy, he's been coming to church, and for several weeks, I've just left him alone. I've just been preaching the Word of God, and on Sunday morning, if you come to Northwood, you're probably going to hear about Jesus. Yeah, that's when them sinners is there. And boy, I've seen God begin to work on his heart, and old Joe won't get saved. Last Tuesday night, I went over to his house, and boy, God had that deal set up just right. I went over to his house, and his wife was staying with her sister. She was sick. And old Joe was there by himself. We got through the small talk real quick. And I said, Joe, I'll tell you why I'm here. I want to see you get saved. I said, Joe, you've been on my heart. There's a load on my heart. And I've been praying for you now. I want to see you get saved. And old Joe, he come up all this stuff. Number one, he said he's a sinner. That's a big step to getting saved. I mean, he didn't deny the fact he's a sinner. But he come up all this other stuff. And the bottom end and the bottom line and the bottom line of the story is this right here. Preacher, I just don't feel it. When I feel it, I'll get saved. You know what I've been praying? I've been praying the Holy Ghost keep him awake about 10 days right straight in a row. Hello, are you listening to me? I'm not going to give up. No, sir. I've got Joe in my heart tonight. I'm telling you, everywhere I go, I see Joe shaking my mind and my heart. Paul's load. Not only his love, but his load. I like what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said, oh, that my head were water and my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. If you study that Old Testament priest in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 28, he put on those priestly garments, and then he would put on that breastplate. And on that breastplate, there's 12 stones, four rows of stones. Those 12 stones represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And everywhere that priest would go, he would bear Israel on his heart. Everywhere we go, Israel would be a load on his heart. He couldn't get away from them stones. Israel was on his heart. I'm trying to tell you tonight, how long's it been? Hey, since you got somebody on your heart, hey, you wouldn't give up. You would not give in. That load on your heart. Are you listening to me? I'll tell you this tonight. I'm saved tonight because of two or three people got a load on their heart 50 years ago for this boy you're looking at. I never will forget it. The church I came out of where Preacher Wishon used to pastor back in the 30s. It wasn't that far back, but it was a long time ago, back in the early 70s. And that church where he pastored, my daddy pastored that church. And when I was a young boy, just a young teenage boy, there's a woman in that church by the name of Miss Lillian Woody. Her husband was Jim Woody. He was from Spruce Pine, North Carolina. He couldn't read his name in boxcar letters, but bless God, he could preach a house down. He didn't have no much about an outline, but he sure did have some good in lines. And boy, I want to tell you, Miss Lee and Woody, she led the singing for my daddy back there and him back in the 60s. You say, a woman leading the singing? Well, the man was too sorry to do it, so somebody had to do it. And so she led the singing. And I never will forget them days, that old white pine floor at the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle in the old building. I never will forget them days. Miss Woody a many a time. She'd come off that platform and she'd have that old red Church of God hymn book in her hand. And her head would fall down into that hymn book and her hot soul tears would run down that hymn book and fall off on that white pine floor. And she'd come off that platform and she'd make her way back to the church, and I'd always be on the back pew. And the reason I was on the back pew, there was three pretty girls on the pew right in front of me. And I always would aggravate those girls. And she would stop Brother Tingen in the pew in front of me and lay her head over my neck. Them old hot salty tears would run down my shirt. Them hot salty tears would run down my chest. And she'd say, Alan, I've been praying for you this week. You've been on my heart. I want to see you get saved. I want to see you get saved. Hey, I'm trying to tell you tonight, Paul had a load for souls. Hey, listen to me tonight. It's been a long time since I felt people like that. They really care. They really care. That's really got a load on the heart. Paul's love for souls. Paul's load for souls. But look at verse 2 again. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow. He don't only have a love for souls and a load for souls, but in his text tonight he has long suffering. Look at the text. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow. Continual. Long suffering. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going back up. Long suffering. He's going the second mile. He's going the third mile. I've got continuous sorrow. I'm talking about long suffering. Listen to me tonight. Reason sometimes our loved one don't get saved, we give up too quick. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall what? Have for what? Faint not. And I will tell you, Paul's continuous, that long-suffering. Oh, listen to me now. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give in. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a loved one that'll go to hell if you do. Hey, it's a world that'll go to hell if you do. There's a city that'll go to hell if you do. Years ago, we had a missionary come by our church when I was pastoring Turner's Creek. And I never forget him. His name, Brother Johnson. Come by and presented his work. We make jokes about this, but they need God. He was going to the country of Poland. And I said, God bless you, brother. Anybody to go to the country of Poland, I'll take them on. Took old Brother Johnson on as a missionary. I never will forget it. Been many, many years ago. And took him on as a missionary. He went to Poland his first term, stayed 4 years. Come back, come through our area and gave an update on his work. I never will forget what Brother Johnson done. He was stepped on the platform with tears in his eyes. He said, I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to give an update. And he said, I wish I could tell you in Poland tonight, there's a good fundamental independent Baptist church, but there's not. He said, I wish I could tell you tonight, there's a group of believers there. But he said, the truth of the matter is, there's not. He said, I wish I could tell you we had study attendance in church. But he said, the truth of the matter is, there's not. But he said, I'll tell you what is there. Now, just now, there's a group of people beginning to listen to this preacher. There's a group of people that is beginning to open their heart to the Word of God. And my next term when I go back, my desire and my burden is to take them a little further, lead them to Christ, and start the church. I want to tell you something tonight. Most churches would drop a missionary like that. I'd take my hat off to him. I'd shine his shoes tonight. Thank God for somebody that won't quit. Long suffering. That won't give up. Won't give in. Won't give out. But I'll tell you, that man of God went back to the field, thank God, and done a work. Are you listening? Now I realize the hyper evangelism of our day couldn't handle that. Hello, Tokyo, I'm preaching good. You know, they couldn't take that kind of stuff. I mean, if you're not getting 14 down the aisle every week and baptizing 25, you're not doing nothing. Don't come around me with that stuff. I won't tell you, there's a time to sow the seed. There's a time to weep over the seed. There's a time, you know, there's no such thing as instant harvest. I love to farm. I'm a farmer. I like to farm. I got a tractor. I believe every saved man likes to ride a tractor and bush hog and run over snakes and plow gardens. Lord, I'm preaching good. Right behind the parsonage, last year I never had a garden. This year I planted me a garden, fixed me a garden, 40 by 40, and fixed me a garden. And a couple of weeks ago, I've already got corn about this high and beans way up and getting cabbage out. It's just real good. It's just real good. But here's what I started to say. About 2 weeks ago, I just out there gomming around. Y'all know what that word means? Gomming around. I was out there going around, Brother Johnson, and I laid me off a row, and I put some sweet corn in that row, and I put some yellow corn in that row, and I put some half-runner green beans in that row. Didn't put no fertilizer, just gomming around. I just want to see if it'd come up together, just gomming around. You know what that word means? And just gomming around. Covered it up about that deep, didn't even put no fertilizer in there. This morning I went out before I got ready to come to this meeting. It's already up about that high. But here's what didn't help Brother Millsap. I didn't plant it that morning, it come up that evening. Hello. And I want to tell you, friend, are you listening to me? There's a time to sow the seed. There's a time that the Holy Ghost has to do that work. And you say, you're a Calvinist. I ain't even kin to a Calvinist. Huh? I just believe the Bible. Are you listening to me? Long suffering, don't you give up. Don't cool off, don't back up. Oh, Paul said, I got a love and a load, but long suffering. Oh, listen to me. Go the second mile. Go the third mile. Go the fourth mile. Head of a boy in my church, I tell you this and I'm done. Head of a boy in my church years ago when I was pastoring years ago before God had put my wife in missions. I went to 84, 85, went to Turner's Creek Baptist Church and become their pastor. a lady in that church started coming to church, and her name is Florence Garner. She didn't have enough money to pay attention. But God used that woman to give more to Faith Promise than anybody else in my church. It's called Faith Promise. But anyhow, here's what I started to say. She had a whole bunch of young'uns. I don't know how many she had. She had a whole bunch of young'uns. And she had a boy named Richard. Richard was getting on up in his teen years. And he'd come to church. I'd preach, and he wouldn't get saved. And he wouldn't get saved. And he wouldn't get saved. One Sunday morning, God moved in that place, and God's conviction was 9 miles deep, and old Richard standing on back row, holding the pew, and tears in his eyes, and made his way out that front door as quick as he could. I was so disturbed about that. I wanted to see him get saved. On Monday, I went over to his house. Monday afternoon, I went to his house. And I said, Richard, I'm talking about long-suffering. You're getting the point, long-suffering. I said, Richard, I sure would like to see you get saved. Well, I know God spoke to your heart yesterday. I seen you in a conviction. I seen you run out the door, and I know God spoke to you. You know what he done, preacher? He looked straight at me and laughed at me, right in my face. You know what it done to me? Made me mad. He laughed at me. He laughed. He made fun of me. He said, I don't care about God. You didn't bother me. Nothing you're saying bothered me. I said, okay, I'm praying for you, buddy. Got in the car and went out the driveway. And as I was going out the driveway, the devil said, forget it. Let him go to hell if that's all he cared. Just let him go to hell. Forget about it. And that's what I wanted to do. Several weeks went by and I kept praying for him and kept praying for him and kept praying for him. Several weeks went by and I was preaching a revival meeting in Mount Zion Baptist Church, North Wilkesboro, during Easter season. And I called old Richard one night. I had a whole pew full of teenagers coming to church that week lost. I had a lot of them saved, but there's a whole pew full sitting there lost, been coming all week long. That particular night, I called Richard that evening. I knew I was going to preach on hell that night. That afternoon, I called Richard. I said, Richard, I am absolutely give out. I've been preaching for several weeks. Would you mind driving me to revival tonight? He said, wait just a minute. Let me go ask Angie. That's his wife. Just had got married. Come back and said, yeah, I'll drive you. I'll be glad to drive you. I went over and picked old Richard up about 6 o'clock. I really lied. I don't like driving nobody. But anyhow, I let him drive me to revival. I preached that night on hell, and I'm telling you, and the funniest thing happened. Richard and Angie come in, and lo and behold, sat right down with on the same pew with that whole crowd that was lost. Preached that night. Boy, when I got done, God moved. Mighty, mighty power. People was getting saved. The altar was full. I'll never forget that little mountain church. I couldn't come off the platform because people was everywhere around the altar crying and weeping. And I done everything I could to get Richard to come down the aisle. He would not come down the aisle. He did raise his hand, but he wouldn't come down the aisle. Several people got saved, but Richard wouldn't come down the aisle. During Easter season, preacher had a big old cross sitting on the platform that he'd been preaching on the cross. And I just went back there and laid flat down on my stomach beside that cross. I said, oh God, don't let Richard go to hell. And I looked up and looked through my fingers. When I looked through my fingers, the aisle was full of people praying. The altar was full of people praying. When I looked back, our old Richard come out about where you're sitting. Now here's how he's doing, just like this. He was stepping on top of everybody. I mean, on top, over everybody. Come down that aisle, come up on that platform. I didn't let him see that I was looking. He laid down on this side of the cross, and I was laying on that side of the cross. He looked up with me and them tears running down his face. I said, Richard, the way of the cross leads home. Hey, long suffering. The devil said, don't go back. He don't care. Let him go to hell. Don't go back. Oh, listen to me tonight. Paul's long suffering. Paul's load. Paul's love for souls. I close with this. Look at verse number 3. Bible said in verse 3, if I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Watch this. You see his love. You see his load. You see his long suffering. But look at the verse. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. The word cursed is only in the Bible four times. And it means devoted to destruction. It means destruction and devoted to destruction. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, God, if it means me going to hell to see them get saved, so let it be. You see his love. You see his load. You see his long-suffering. You see his life. He's willing to give his life. Are y'all hearing me, priest, tonight? Willing to give his life to see that loved one get saved. Can I tell you something tonight? I don't have that kind of burden. I want that kind of burden, but I don't have that kind of burden. I want to see people saved, and we do see people saved, but I just don't believe I've got that kind of burden. I read that scripture this afternoon in Exodus chapter 32 when Moses was up in the mountain with God, and you know the story how they do it, and they break off the earrings and the gold and melt down and held the golden calf. You know the story. Take her clothes off and dancing around that calf. God's getting ready to destroy the whole outfit, and did destroy 3,000. That Moses goes before God and says, God, please don't destroy the rest of them. And if you're not going to save them, blot my name, I pray thee, out of the book of life. I don't have that kind of burden. I want it, but I don't have it. I want to see people. I want to see people saved, but I don't have it. May the Holy Ghost open just a small window tonight into the heart of this great missionary. At the end of the day, that's what Prayer Baptist is all about. That's what Gateway Baptist is about. That's what Sweet Home and Hughes Grove is about. It's about reaching our loved one in our community with the gospel. Brother Todd, that's what going into prisons is about. Brother Grant, that's what's running up down them hills and hollers where you live is about. The older I get, the more I'm reminded there's just one life. That life's soon going to be gone. And all that's done for Christ is all that's going to last. My question is this, and I'm closing. Do we really care? Brother Paquette, then people go to hell in Mexico if you don't care. I believe you care. Brother Stiers, they'll go to hell if we don't care. Man, let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, as the musicians come tonight, God, I want you to work in my heart. Oh, God, I'm first to confess, I certainly don't have what I ought to have when it comes to being a soul winner. Lord, I don't have the burden that this man of God has. Oh, God, tonight, please, as the musicians begin to play, I pray you'll begin to work in our hearts. Work in my heart, Lord, first of all. Lord, we say we care, but do we really care? We say we love them, but do we really love them? We say we have long suffering and we have a load on our heart for them. But Lord, I wonder sometime if we really do. Here's a man of God willing to give his life a curse from Christ. God, please, may we see this thing's almost over. We're on the last leg of the journey. This thing's about done. Whoever we're going to reach, God, help us do it and do it now. May we lift up our eyes and look on the fields, for they're already white and the hardest. Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. I'm going to get out of the way in just a second. I'm not going to tarry. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you ought to do something about that tonight. While our heads are bowed, let me just say this. How many are there in the building tonight to say, Preacher, I'm going to be honest tonight. I'm going to really be honest. Preacher Barker, I'm going to be honest. I probably don't have the burden for souls that all they have. I'm just going to be honest. I probably don't. Would you pray for me? I'm raising my hand. I don't mind go up first. Hello, the building. Well, but don't have that burnout ahead. While our heads are bowed and nobody looking around, there very well could be someone in this building lost tonight. And if there is, be a good night to get saved. Are there one anywhere in the building? Preacher, I'm not saved, or I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? I will if you raise your hand. I will if you raise your hand. Hey, I want to ask you a question. You that raised your hand a while ago and said you really don't have the burden that you ought to have, what are you going to do about it? Are we going to go back home the same way tonight? Or are we going to make a way around an old-fashioned altar and let God squeeze our heart and break our heart for a lost and dying world? You that raised your hand, won't you join us around the altar for prayer? Come on right now. Just come on. That's it. Nobody here but us. Obey the Lord. Hey, it's nobody here but us. Come on. Paul's burden. Our Heavenly Father, please work in my heart tonight. Thank you for what you have done. And our Father, help me to have a greater burden for souls than I've ever had before. Soon going to be over. This thing's soon going to be done. Help me be what I ought to be in these days. Meet every need around the altar. I don't think people come down the aisle just to be seen. Lord, I believe you've done something in their heart. And I pray that even extend further than the altar. Out into the world, God, please help people around the altar tonight. Do a mighty work in these days. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.